a gift. I want to go to kind of tie this in with the book of Esther. I realized when I was studying for this that I have never preached or taught out of the book of Esther before. And I thought that was kind of interesting, so I started doing a little bit of research on the book of Esther, and I didn't realize that this is the only book of the Bible that God is not mentioned in. Not mentioned in the book of Esther at all. However, you can see his providential hand through the entire book. You can see these little facets of how he worked his way and how this person was in the right place at this time, and then this person was in the right place at that time, and how God just weaved it in so perfectly, his hand, so that Queen Esther is exactly where she needs to be at exactly the right time. At exactly the right time. And when you read it, sometimes you can get lost in the weeds a little bit because it's like, wait, who did what? And then how did that happen? But when we pan back, let's pan back for a second. And the book of Esther is really about a woman who was in the right place at the right time, at the right place at the right time, but it was because the Lord's hand was on her life. Now, there was some racial tension going on in the midst of that circumstance, some real racial tension. And we would be remiss if we say that those things don't still occur today. I love what Chris said last year in our Real Talk series. He said, we don't have a racism problem, we have a sin problem. We have a sin problem. So any hate in any form is sin, period. It's sin, and we have to call it as that. And it's important to do that. But the very first point we need to recognize from the book of Esther is this, and some of you are like, wait, read a scripture. I will at the end, it's not time. But the very first point I want to make for you today is this, that you are chosen. You were chosen by God. Chosen by God. That means that the enemy, who has been an enemy your entire life, from the day you were born, he's been an enemy. And we talked about this at the women's conference yesterday. He's been chatter, talking to you your whole life. But God has chosen you. He called you out. He put a seal upon you, and that made you a target for the enemy. So you have to recognize that you are chosen by God. Not one person in this life gets to walk through life unscathed. We all have to walk through stuff. That's just life. That's just life. But the fact that you are chosen by God means that you have someone who is an advocate who walks with you during those circumstances. And although you may feel like I'm the only one going through this, wrong. Your Heavenly Father walks with you daily. Daily he walks with you. If he's chosen you, he's equipped you, he walks beside you daily. Daily. The second thing is this. Your calling is bigger than you think. It's bigger than what you think. I think Queen Esther probably thought, okay, I'm going to hide my nationality. I'm going to hide who I am. I'm going to enter this beauty pageant. She enters this beauty pageant, and she gets chosen. Okay? She gets chosen. We look back on that book now, thousands of years later, and say, oh, God's favor was on her life. But really, she probably just thought, oh, I was picked. And she probably thought, I'm just going to, you know, do queeny things all day. I'm just going to, you know, sit around and have, you know, maid servants, and, you know, we're just going to bathe and go in the pool and do queeny things. But little did she know, God had a much bigger plan for her life. And I think sometimes we forget, as men and as women, that we've been positioned by God and that he sees the big picture. He sees the end from the beginning. So you think that you're working a little job right now. You think that you may have taken a small part at the community chapel, but God has called you. He set his mark upon you. He chose you for the purpose because your calling is bigger and he's getting you ready for something greater. Where you are right now, if you're walking with the Lord, is not where you're going to be next year. I promise you, it's not. He doesn't call us to leave us. He calls us because he's going to keep calling us. And your yes today makes it easier for you to say yes tomorrow. So So remember that. When you step out in faith, when you say yes to God, you're going to say yes to God tomorrow and the day after that. I promise you. And it gets easier. It gets easier. Because what you know to be true is this, that if he was faithful here, he's going to be faithful here. And so this feels like, okay, I'm taking a little step, taking a little step. Wait, that feels like a really big step. But because he's met me here, here, and here, I know that when I leap, he's going to catch me there. And so you just got to remind yourself of that, that your calling is bigger than what you think. And you've been positioned in a place. I don't care if you're retired. I don't care if you feel like I'm just a stay-at-home mom. You have a hard job. You have a hard job. Because guess what? We're investing, constantly investing. If you're a grandmother or a grandfather, man, I can't wait. I feel like I can't wait to be a grandparent because I can't wait for the moment where I could just love on them, teach them the goodness of God, and then give them back to their parents. I can't wait for that day when you don't have to parent anymore, right? The third thing is this. Orient yourself to worst case scenario. Orient yourself to worst case scenario. When Queen Esther was called and Mordecai came to her, some of you know this story. If not, go read the book of Esther. It's beautiful. But Mordecai tells her of this plan to kill all the Jews. Now, Esther, she had hid her nationality. The king did not know that she was a Jew, but she hid her nationality. And Mordecai tells her of this plan that all of the Jewish people are to be killed. Now, some of you may not realize this. I didn't realize this until I started studying. That there's no definite number of people that lived in Persia at that time, but there was somewhere between 75,000 and 750,000 Jews that lived there at that time. That's a Holocaust, guys. And that's what they wrote the decree, and they said, okay, in 9 months, this is what's going to happen. And Esther gets word of this plan. And her uncle Mordecai tells her, you have to say something to the king. You have to say something. And she says, I can't go in to his presence unsummoned. I will lose my life. I will lose my life. And he says to her, do not think that you will escape this situation. In some way or another, you might lose your life too. So then there's this wrestling match inside of her. And I think sometimes we go through this wrestling match. It might not be for 750,000 people on the line, but when the Lord speaks to us and says, I need you to tell this person that I love them, you're like, oof. But they're my boss. But I don't really have a relationship with that person. And it's a struggle. And we might face persecution in the form of rejection. But she was facing, her life was on the line. And she had a decision to make. Am I going to stand up for these people? Am I going to say what needs to be said, potentially losing my own life? Or am I just going to hide? That same question is asked to us daily. Are you going to do what I've asked you to do, or are you going to hide? We have a choice in the matter. We have a choice in the matter. Every single day you can live as if God is on the throne, as if he rules your life, as if he is in control, or you have a choice to say, you know, I'm just going to work in a 9-to-5 here. I don't really need to make waves. It's not what I'm about. But the fact of the matter that Esther says in there, she comes to this conclusion and says, if I die, I die. I will go into the king. I will speak on behalf of my people. And if I perish, the Bible says, I perish. She had to orient herself to the worst case scenario in this situation. When you're faced with a tough decision, sometimes it's okay to go to the place of, what is the worst thing that could happen to me here? Because most of the time, the worst thing is not really the worst thing. You know? Like, okay, they might reject me. Okay, but he hung on a cross naked from my sins. So if he's asking me to be obedient in this, I can do that. This isn't the worst thing that I can do. But for Esther, it was losing her life. A brilliant Greek philosopher named Maria Erickson allowed me one time in a session where it was like I was so trapped in my thoughts and I couldn't get out of this pattern of just sadness and grief and just, I couldn't get out of it. I was stuck. I was literally stuck. I would read the Bible, but I felt like every time I would open it up, it was like to, you know, some kind of chapter of the Bible that was like lamenting or crying. And I'm like, this isn't making it better. It's making it worse at this point in time. It's just like misery loves company here. And so Maria said, go worst case scenario. What's the worst possible thing that can happen in this situation? And to be honest with you, that exercise scared me. It scared me. Because what it forced me to see is at the end of all of that is that Misty is not in control. Misty is not in control. That I may think I have everything compartmentalized. Lunch is packed, clothes laid out, laundry done. That's not true. I never do laundry. Laundry done, da 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 da. Everything's in order. However, I'm not in control, ultimately. He is. And if I've submitted my life to him and he asks me to do a hard thing that feels difficult at the moment, I know that, yeah, hard things may happen as a result of that, but his grace is sufficient for me. And if you recognize that, okay, I may have to go worst case scenario on this, what is the worst possible thing that could happen to me in this situation? Okay, but on the other side of that is Jesus, then it gives us the peace of mind to be able to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you my life. I gave it to you at salvation, but I'm going to keep giving it to you every day, every day. And when we do that, he meets us in those moments. The fourth thing is this, do it afraid. Do it afraid. There's this beautiful scene in the movie, if you've seen the movie Esther, where she kind of like, it's the music's ramping up, right? And she comes in and she opens those big doors and she steps in to the room and the king has favor on her life. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we are favored by God. That you're going to walk into a situation and you're going to be the underdog, but you're going to look at yourself and go, you know what? I see the situation as Jesus sees it, and although I'm scared, I'm favored. Although I'm walking in fear, I'm favored by this right now. So if something is not right and I need to speak up on behalf of this situation, I know that I am favored by God, that he's called me and that he's equipped me and that you can do it. The fifth thing is this, people's life are on the line. There are people's life that are on the line. You guys can come, come up. There are people's life that are on the line. We have the hope of glory living inside of us. The hope of glory living inside of us. You have been saved. Think about what he saved you from. That'll wreck you. Right there. And to think about the fact that we sit on our salvation. We sit on it. I don't want to say who I really am. I'm going to hide who I really am. Don't sit on it. Tell everybody. Because he's coming back one day. He's coming back and we want to be ready. And for Esther, it was saving 75,000 to 750,000 people from death. But every single day, you have encounters with people that God says, just tell them I love them. Just tell them how much I love them. What happens if you got to heaven one day? What happens if you got to heaven one day? And every single person that you ever said, hey, God loves you. Hey, he's got a plan for you. Hey, I'm praying for you. What happens if every single person came up and just said, hey, thanks for doing that? Because you don't know, but I was in a bad place. Think about that. Would you like to be greeted by 1,000 people that said that? Would you like to be? How many people do you want to say thank you to you in heaven? Do you live in such a way that God is good so you can speak on behalf of that? Do we do that? Or are we hidden? The last point is this: your voice is a gift. We make the message of salvation and we make telling our story this monumental thing, and we forget that it's our story and people can't argue with it. It's your story and people can't argue with it. They can argue theological truths with you. They can argue all kinds of things, but they can't argue with your story. They can't argue with what God did in your life. Let me show you what that looks like. When I was pregnant with Mia, it was our first child, pregnant with Mia, I was extremely ill, extremely ill. I wasn't one of those cute pregnant people. I was like, I'm here. You know, it was like that, like it was bad. So I was very ill, very sick. And I got to the point where I got so sick that I had to go to the hospital. So we go to the hospital and I tell them I'm pregnant. They do the ultrasound and they say, there's no heartbeat. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm so sick, there's no way there's not a heartbeat. No, you're wrong, do it again. They did it again, no heartbeat. And I said, well, maybe it's just too soon. And they're like, no, you're pretty far along. We should have a heartbeat by now. And they said, go home. We think you'll probably miscarry soon. As a new mom, what do you do with that? So I went home, Richie and I defeated. And what made me so mad, now that I look back on it, is the enemy was like, oh yeah, you're such a great pastor's wife. You don't even have faith for your own baby. That's what the enemy speaks. Let's expose it for what it is. Let's just expose it for what it is. You don't have faith for the life that God gave you. And in that moment, he was right, because I didn't. But thank you, Jesus, that I was in a community of people and I had family around me that called me on the phone and said, hey, we're having a prayer meeting on Wednesday night at church. Come to church and let us pray for you. And at that point in time, we were given options. Like, if there's no heartbeat, then this is your option. And so there was this real tension there between, like, what do we do, God? We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. So we go to church on that Wednesday night, and to be honest with you, I felt like I wasn't going there thinking that God was going to heal me. I was going there thinking that something else was going to happen. I don't know what, but not healing. It wasn't even in my mind. It was like I was preparing myself for the worst. And all of a sudden, the pastor comes up, he puts his hand on me, and he starts praying. And I just, like a good Christian, received. Right? That's what we do. We receive. So I'm receiving. And then all of a sudden, I start sweating. Like, uncontrollably sweating, like you can't believe. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm having menopause. I'm pregnant, but I'm having menopause. No, I was sweating so bad. And then this vision of God massaging her heart. And at that moment in time, I got up and I said, she's alive. She's alive. I know it. I feel it. And I told Richie, I said, babe, I saw God massage her heart. I will never forget that image. He had her heart in his hand. And he was massaging her heart. And Mom and I and Richie went on Friday to the ultrasound. And it wasn't even 1 second. They put the sonogram on there. It was boom, 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 boom. And we erupted. You would have thought we were having quadruplets. We were screaming in there. It was like a baseball team. We were so excited. But it took 1 second for me to be obedient in that moment of, okay, I'm just going to get prayer. Okay, I'm just going to be around. Guys, think about this for a second. In your lowest moment, who's around you when you need prayer? Who's around you when you need comfort? Who's around you when you need somebody to have faith when you don't have any faith? Because we all go through that. All of us. I don't care if you're the strongest Christian I know. We all go through places where it's like, God, where are you right now? Where are you? Like, I gave my life to you, but why is this happening to me? I'm sure Esther was like, what did I do to have to put my life on the line for all these people? But God said, tell them. And that's what he's telling us today. And just like I told you that story about Mia, no one in history can argue with that point. No one. No one can tell me that my baby was dead inside my belly, but God raised her to life. No one. And that's how easy it is for you to share your faith. That's how easy it is for you to remember that your voice is a gift, that the testimony that God put inside of you is a gift. And what he's calling you to walk through right now is not your final destination. Don't stop in the pain. Keep pushing, because on the other side of that, his favor, his blessing, his promises are all there. He's called you to greater. He's chosen you. Remember that today. Remember that. I want to read, this is my verse. This is my time when I'm going to read the Bible to you now. It's Psalm 71:14-18, and it says this. But I will keep on hoping for your help. I will praise you more and more. I will tell everyone about your righteousness. All day long I will proclaim your saving power. Though I am not skilled with words, I will praise your mighty deeds. O sovereign Lord, I will tell everyone that you alone are just. O God, you have taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about the wonderful things you do. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. I don't care if you are 5 or 555. God has called you. He has chosen you, and there is a purpose for your life. It does not matter what you're walking through now. It doesn't matter what you see on the other side of your situation, even if it seems bleak. God has called you. Use your voice. Women, you are not less than. God has called you. Use your voice. Minister to your spouse. Speak words of truth and life to your children. We get caught in a pattern as parents of correcting. But if you sit with the Lord every day, he will remind you. He will remind you. Love them like I love you. Show them the love of God like I showed you. That's what we've been called to do. Will you stand with me? Lord, I thank you for this day today, God. I thank you that this is your day. I thank you that you've called each one of us in here, God, to share our voice. And if we're in this room today, there's a purpose in us hearing this message. So I ask today that you would give us faith where we're walking in fear. That you would give us grace where we feel defeated. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're going to minister to each person in their specific way that they need to hear what you've said today, God. I pray that it wouldn't just be a one-time message, God, but that over and over and over again, you would remind us of how faithful you've been to us, how you've called us, how you've chosen us, God, and how our voice, the unique things that we've walked through, are a gift to the world around us. Forgive us for the times, God, that we've been disobedient in that. We ask you to give us the courage moving forward from this day forward that we're going to share your word, we're going to share your heart, and we're going to share our story with the world. Because we thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to people who do not understand who you are, but we have the hope that they need. So we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.